Well, hello again. Welcome to TV Tuesday. This is TV Tuesday, where we present an episode of the Jack Benny Show that was presented on television. And you get a chance to hear it here, or you can watch it over on YouTube, and we'll have a link in the show notes that will take you to the YouTube channel where you can watch it and see us chat about it and see the actual episode. Or you can listen to it if you're in your car or whatever, and go ahead and listen. So anyway, without further ado, here is an episode of TV Tuesday.
Hit it, Phil. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no, it isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have Kathy Fuller Seely here, author of, three different books now at this point, and just charmed to have them. And her newest book is out there on Amazon now. I believe it's in paperback as well as hardback. The hardback was the only available at first.
You convinced me to buy the hardback, and it is lovely. They did a nice job. Smooth paper.
Really nice papers and everything. I mean, I really like the hardback. So yeah, I would suggest a hardback since it's only $10 more. And we have John Henderson here, of course, from This Day in Jack Benny, where he tries to imitate my podcast and things, and it's the best imitation I've heard of the quality of my podcast.
So. Yeah, I do try to imitate it. It's an odd thing that the imitation is better than the original. It's one of those weird things.
so rare. I mean, most people will realize that the Beatles are a little better than the Rolling Stones, but you know, it's teach their own. So it's
okay. They're an exception to every rule. It's amazing.
That's right. But no, I'm excited because we're bringing you the cartoon that is the famous Jack Benny cartoon, the mouse that Jack built. And this one, Kathy and I, at least, it was one of our earliest recollections of a Jack Benny thing. And I remember seeing this in our local, I'm sure no one else knows it, unless you're in the Northwest, but our local sort of morning show for kids was J.P. Patches. And on J.P. Patches, he would introduce cartoons and he'd do his own little skits and things. And one of the cartoons in that rotation that would come around would be The Mouse That Jack Built. And every time I saw it, I was just intrigued by who are these people and what is going on. And then all of a sudden it becomes live action at the end. And so I'm like, okay, this is a real person. And I was trying to put that all together. I definitely remember seeing a couple of the Jack Benny specials, but not necessarily connecting the cartoon to the color specials from the 70s. But later in life, it sort of made it where it all kind of made sense. I started listening to the radio show on my commute and just loved it. And what happened was, I mean, for me with Jack Benny, honestly, I can even tell you the year. In 2001, I was commuting to work an hour each day, And so I wanted something to listen to. Gunsmoke was the thing I remembered. And so I grabbed Gunsmoke. And then I posted on a board somewhere, I think, that I was commuting and was wondering what other radio shows folks would suggest. And like, I don't know, I maybe got 10 suggestions. And of those, five of them were the Jack Benny Show. So then I found the Jack Benny Show and started listening to it and thought, oh, it's pretty good. After, you know, because you got to get used to the characters. It's kind of a internal show because the jokes aren't about, things going on in the world. They're more about the characters. So you got to get into the characters. But once I listened to about five episodes, I just fell in love with the thing and listened to the whole run as I was driving back and forth. So because I think I could get through, you know, four episodes a day or something. So that would, you know, kind of go quickly through it and just fell in love with it and then wanted to do something with it to get it out there. And I wanted more people to hear it and things. And then podcasting was a thing. And so then I started doing the podcast. We're right at 15 years I've done the podcast now or something. John, you've done yours for five or
since 2016.
Yeah. It's been a little while, so good for you. I kept fine tuning it kind of as I went with my introductions, and I just thought it was such a fun thing to do. Anyway, so then we started doing these YouTube ones like a year ago or so, and it's just because I'd introduced all of his radio shows, and so I was like, well, let's do some introductions on YouTube and things, and you guys were willing to join me, which is fantastic. I feel so blessed for that. And this is one I've always wanted to do. I've never had a decent copy of it, really, to share or whatever. And now I've got a decent copy, so we'll see. This one might be one that you want to enjoy while you can, because it might be one that they tell me to pull down or something, and I will if they tell me to do it. But I'll throw it out there. It seems like we get a little more grace for the fact that we have these intros that we do to them, and we sort of are doing it in, I don't know if you call it a scholarly way or whatever, but it's like an analysis piece that I think they can say, okay, that free use, maybe they let us slide a little bit on it, because I haven't had any problems with any of the videos being pulled or tell me to pull them. Yeah. Knock on wood for sure. What do we think about this? This is Jack's pretty much his whole cast. I wish that they would have had Dennis on here. Honestly, that's the only person missing. But truly, in 6 minutes, I think you're going, okay, how many people can we truly fit in? And they do a really nice job of having a little bit with all of them. The person that always surprises me that I don't expect is that Ed from the Vault makes a little audio piece where he's in here. And I think it's played by the standard Ed that we've always had in the radio series, which is, I think, Joseph Kearns, isn't it? Or I'm not sure, but it might not be.
I think it's Mel Blanc. It sounds I think Mel Blanc is doing a Joseph Kearns voice.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to look back and listen again. But yeah, there was something a little different about it but certainly he was at least imitating Kearns, if nothing else. Yeah. So, but let's go to John first. John, what do you want us to talk about this
thing? Yeah. Well, first I have to mention that we joke with each other in our Fred Allen style feud, but I actually did listen to your podcast before I even started mine and thought it was great.
And thought, I can do that better. Gosh darn it. And so you did your own thing. No, I think that's great. And yeah, we do joke back and forth because it's more fun than if we sit here and go, oh my gosh, yours is just lovely, John. I just love it. And then you're saying, well, Daryl, yours is just so on point. It's but whatever. Yeah. But what I love is you can listen to both of them. We do coordinate enough that we're not stepping on each other's toes throughout the year. He stays away from the years I do, which is just like four, and then he plays with the rest of them. But the piece, John brings up the subtle mentions in there, the various things, and explains things and does a beautiful job. I probably spend more time with the talking about the actors, talking about the show itself and things. And so they're both just different flavors of introductions. And so I think a lot of people enjoy listening to everything that we both do. So I think it ties in really well. And then it's fun that we both can get on here together and talk each week about the Jack Benny stuff. So I just think it's
definitely
great.
Yeah. And I watched a lot of Looney Tunes when I was a kid. I loved the Looney Tunes.
So did I.
But I have no memory of the house that Jack built.
Right.
I actually have a memory of being like in elementary school and playing mice inspired by Looney Tunes, but it was the Honeymooners one, not. Yes. Jack Benny one.
Yeah.
So I watched this after already, being into Jack Benny, and then I realized there was a Jack Benny cartoon. And I think that for that reason I did appreciate it more, being able to recognize the caricatures in mouse form, which is hilarious and great, and even way better than when they actually do caricatures of Jack and Mary and Rochester.
Oh, for sure.
In mouse form, it's a lot more fun to play with, just adds an extra element that makes it more than just a straight parody, but something a little more fun. So I love this cartoon. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely, it's about the best they could possibly do for a take on the Jack Benny show and take on Jack and his cast. The fact that anyone thought to do this and they agreed to do it and things when they did it is kind of strange and wonderful that they did, because it's, I think it's 57, I think, is when this came out. So this is after his radio show is gone. This is when he's just doing his television show. And it seems like a strange thing to sort of think of at that time frame. I mean, it would have made more sense, you would think, in the 40s or late 40s or early 50s or something. But yeah.
And yet, if you look over all the Looney Tunes that are being produced in this period, more and more of them were about television. You talk about the Honeymooners version, you'd have Dave Garraway, you know, I mean, so if in the 30s and 40s, Warner Brothers cartoons sometimes had Hollywood parodies, caricatures of famous movie stars. If you look at Looney Tunes were going into more and more into television and things about television. You know, you could say Bugs Bunny's autobiography episode in television. And then there's, I think, one with Elmer Fudd on television. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the American movie audience is tanking, is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. So it's amazing that Warner Brothers still had the budget for these cartoons to make them. But it's not, to me, not that unusual that they would have chosen another television target, especially given how dependent they were, how closely they work with Mel Blanc. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what was Mel most known for, other than all these Warner, you know, cartoon characters, would be, you know, his long relationship with the Jack Benny show. So in a way, I see it as kind of maybe inevitable or a little more likely than unlikely, but still absolutely wonderful. Just as you say, because I think when we get to it, I think that I've read, and I think it's true, that Jack Benny is a hard person to make a cartoon of, a caricature of. I've been collecting them from, you know, for a number of years now, when I find them in newspapers or this and that, and nobody can quite capture his face. This, I think, cartoon does a pretty good job of it. It's Chuck Jones's drawing with those big eyes, you know, but, and the fact that it's actually voiced by Jack Benny himself. Yeah. But to me, this is one of the best caricatures of Jack Benny, even though it's not exact.
I wouldn't say just Jack. I would say Don. They capture it's a perfect Don, and then Rochester. You see, I mean, we're going to talk about the other times when the characters were featured in cartoons. But so often with Rochester, it essentially looks like it's often a mouse they're having him as or some character, but they always essentially look like someone in blackface with the big white lips and the big and a very dark complexion. Whereas this one, they captured the fact that he's black, but they didn't go overboard with the caricature of that. And so I thought it worked really well. It seemed really respectful, the version of Rochester they had. Mm-hmm. And then Mary is her hair and every, I mean, it's a great version of Mary. So I was happy with all of them. And I thought it just worked beautifully. I assume Jack's folks were really very happy with how it all turned out. And where John was going with the fact that he hadn't seen it for a long time or whatever, when he was a kid, I used to watch the Looney Tunes show on Saturday morning, and I think that's probably what he was watching too. Yeah. And they had a certain group of, just like Jack has a certain shows that are syndicated, but there's a lot more Jack that you know, don't see syndicated. With that, they had a certain group of cartoons that would go over and over and over again. There were a lot, but this was obviously not in that group because we would have seen it, right? Yeah. But luckily for me, like I say, with my JV Patches, he didn't have those episodes. They were more obscure, different. I don't know how they got the rights to show them or whatever they did, but they were a totally different group. and they would be more of the things like the Honeymooners and episode and this episode and just some of the more obscure episodes. They would show a lot more of the, were like the 1940s episodes where Bugs didn't look quite like he does, you know, in his peak and things. A lot of the Porky Pig stuff that was big back in the 40s, like Porky sort of, he was like almost bigger than Bugs for a while. And then, but then Bugs kind of took over in the 50s and that sort of thing in the late 40s. Anyway, but the whole history of Looney Tunes is such an interesting thing. And I love that we have YouTube and you can watch so many of the various cartoons on there. I would love to read why it's like in the 50s, there was a more experimental sort of piece to them, it seemed like, with like this piece. But the one that stands out for me that I just love is, I can't remember the actor's name. He's the actor that is in a lot of radio, and he played the Alka-Seltzer character. He's got a little kid voice, but he started voicing when he was in college. And so he wasn't young at the time, but he'd play, you know, I think he said he'd play anywhere from like 4 year olds up to like 12 year olds is what, where his range was or whatever. But he played Ralph in two different Looney Tunes cartoons that were about, and to me, those were my most personal cartoons because I used to daydream all the time and get called out on it, you know, wake up, you know, pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. And Ralph was, his whole thing was about him daydreaming. He was an admiral, or daydreaming he was fighting sharks, or daydreaming he was a fighter pilot or an astronaut. And the teacher's always trying to snap him out of it or whatever. And they're just beautiful, but they aren't of the same vein as what we're used to with, Warner Brothers are kind of standalones, and they did a lot more standalones, it seems like, in the 50s, where there was like two or three episodes, but they weren't like Bugs Bunny, where you go back to it over and over and over again, or Yosemite Sam or whatever. They were kind of self-contained shows, and I'm sure there was a reason that happened, but I don't know what it was.
I think that there's a lot of standalone episodes in the early days. They're just maybe not as memorable or good, you know, with the exception of some of the gems, like I Love to Singa.
Which one?
I Love to Singa. I Love to Singa. About the moon and the June. Al Jolson.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's so many. Yeah. And through time, it's interesting. I love the takes on Hollywood performers and things that so often Jack appears in those ones where they're grabbing onto a Clark Gable and all these people and showing them in cartoon fashion. Those are always fun as well.
Yeah.
There was another mention I was going to make. Oh, I know what it was. Kathy was saying, you know, that it was great that they could still make these into the 50s and so forth. But as far as I know, I don't know when they stopped, but of course, cartoons were the beginnings of movie. You'd get a cartoon when you went to the movie and you would expect it. And so they would keep on making at least as long as they did that. But it seemed like that went up until right about the time that they stopped making the cartoons. I assume it's because they wouldn't feature them at the beginning of movies anymore.
The studios were just collapsing, and then, you know, and they couldn't afford it because you couldn't charge enough for the cartoons. So it was really always just sort of eating the expense of making the things. And eventually they just couldn't afford it anymore. And so I think the last cartoons are really kind of sad,
right?
About 62.
Well, I assume that people would also, they might get, if they were to audience test like you do today, I don't know if they did audience testing, but I assume some people would be like, no, just get to the movie. I paid to see the movie. I want to see the movie. I don't want to see this kid's cartoon.
Movies were also getting longer, but as I said, they didn't have the right audience. The first I saw cartoons at the drive-in. They would have, you know, cartoons before the movies there, but you know, no, it was very much a dying thing. But then, lucky for Warner Brothers, that television, especially in times like Saturday mornings or afternoons, here you could take your old material and get some more money out of it by licensing it to show again and again and again to our generation of young people.
Yeah,
so, hooray!
Well, yeah, created a whole, I mean, all the other cartoons would come and go. I mean, you'd have the Brady Bunch kids for two seasons or whatever, and you'd have some genie show or whatever that was going to be on, or Super Friends or whatever. But through all of that, as far as I knew, from the time pretty much I was born until, well, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they had constantly the Looney Tunes had their little either half hour, hour block that they would have every Saturday, and you can watch that. And that's pretty impressive that they were able to go against all the competition. The competition would fade away and they just keep going and going and going without new material, which is the same old cartoons and everything.
And the fascinating thing is that those cartoons were originally made for adults.
Right.
You know, that's, yeah. They were made for Saturday morning shows. They were made to go with the feature of the evening. And so I love looking back at some of those cartoons that I'd seen since the age of three or four and going, oh, is that what they meant?
Yeah.
You know, slightly risque things, or the, you know, that's, or connections to historical events, you know, all the kind of things that did, you know, went right over my head when I was little. And then as I get older, ooh.
Yep.
Well, even in the last 5 years since I've been doing the Jack Benny Show and researching all of the references, there are many things that I wouldn't realize was a reference until you learn it, and then you go back and watch Looney Tunes, and you're like, oh, I get it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so often, I assume you're saying, so often Looney Tunes are referencing the Jack Benny Show or Jack Benny catchphrases or whatever that you might not realize are from Jack's show. And then, of course, vice versa, too. I mean, because you have no blank on there that there's more of a tie.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it's things happening, you know, in the news or whatever. But even more than that, it is like characters, right? Mm-hmm. This is a mouse, but this mouse is actually, you know, Andy Griffith or Eddie Cantor who is the one that, or Phil Silvers or whatever, right?
You know? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, or Senator Claghorn.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Senator Claghorn. That's such an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that tie until much later, like I said. And then it was like, oh, okay, this makes total sense now what they were doing. Yeah, crazy. The other piece that I was just going to mention was the fact that I was excited when late 80s, early 90s, I can't remember, they were celebrating some anniversary of Warner Brothers cartoons. And they put them at the front of movies again. For about a year, there was where they put them at the front of movies. And I loved it. I saw more movies that year just because I want to see the cartoon. Get that experience of going to the theater and seeing a cartoon and seeing the feature. Yeah. It was great.
Whereas I gobbled up when they released the DVD releases of the Looney Tunes Golden Collection and things like that. Now, my brother had them earlier on Laserdisc. And those were even more beautiful, and you could watch them frame by frame. Wow. There are things that you could do with Laserdisc that you haven't been able to do with any other medium since then. But so that was the first I'd never gotten to see What's Opera Doc. It had never shown on TV before, and so that's why I needed the Golden Collection. It was finally to see.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many things on there that you haven't seen before, or whatever. I mean, they're charming to get them. I mean, this Mouse that Jack built is on one of the sets, I think.
It is,
And the other thing I was going to mention that I liked, and they only did it for just a few, that the DVD, they would release DVDs of movies. In this case, I want to say the two I can think of. One I definitely can think of is Robin Hood. The other one, I think was Yankee Doodle Dandy, maybe was one of them, where when they released it, they were trying to say you could create an evening like it would have been going to the movie theater and seeing this. Giving you a cartoon that you could have the cartoon and then watch the movie. And they tried to get a cartoon that was somewhat related. I think they used the Robin Hood cartoon that they with Daffy Duck and things.
I think those were on a separate disc, and they actually had one of the shorts that was out at the same time as Robin Hood, along with a musical, like another film, a short, like a musical segment or another thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But they had, I know they had them where they were on, but they were on the same disc, and that you could watch them all together. You could say play it, and it would play the just like it was in the theater when you would see.
I've got the Yankee Doodle Dandy one like that, and it's fascinating to, well, I mean, that people 20 years older than us could remember that's what a movie show was like.
Yeah.
But as sort of educational, unfortunately, with the collapse of the DVD market, we don't get that. You know, Netflix, nobody is actually streaming all those extras anymore.
I remember they tried something similar in the 90s when I was a youngster on VHS. Before Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, they played a new Roger Rabbit cartoon.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
To emulate, you know, sort of like a cartoon short before your movie. And it was great.
Yeah, I wish they would bring that back. I mean, we're sitting there watching all of these previews, trailers of movies coming up, and then usually an ad or two that they want us to watch. You just think they could throw in a cartoon in there somewhere too. I'd love it, but they don't. So we keep moving on. But and then the other side too, when anyone tries to do it and create a new cartoon for an adult, it is hard to create a really good cartoon that holds up. I mean, you could grab any of the Warner Brothers cartoons and it's tough to match them. I mean, certainly, like you say, the Roger Rabbit stuff that they did was reminiscent of that and could pull some of that. But I still don't think most of your Roger Rabbit shorts are as good as the original Bugs Bunny cartoons and things. So, yeah, it's tough. Anyway, so I hope folks are going to enjoy this great little piece that we have for you. I think what we'll do is let's go ahead and talk about the other cartoons that we have. I'm going to tag those on the end so that you're first going to see the good, the really good one, which is, of course, The Mouse that Jack Built. But then you'll see some of the appearances. There's only like 2 or 3 minutes of it, of appearances that Jack, where they used Jack's character in a cartoon, but it doesn't actually have Jack voicing the character, or they use, it's usually Jack and Rochester that are used the most. I don't think we see anybody else from the, oh, no, we do Mary.
Two Marys, twice. So.
And I guess I'll throw this out there. There's one with Mary and Jack that I think is the best one of the whole lot.
Yeah.
Because Mary especially does a really good job of sounding like Mary and seeming and giving a Mary kind of take on deflating Jack somewhat that works. The Jack in that is not the best Jack, but he's not horrible. And so it's, that's the most solid.
I think the cartoon is actually called like Jack Benny's Malibu Beach Party. Yeah. So they are supposed to be the main characters in that one with other celebrities then introduced, as opposed to Owl Jolson and I Want to Sing It, where the other ones where he's just one of the mix of characters.
Correct.
That comes on, at least so for what that's worth.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look that one up and see, because it's certainly that little snippet we get. And you get a few, you can tell there was a longer bit because you get two little snippets from that same cartoon. You can tell with the one with Mary and Jack being the best of the two pieces, but it makes me want to see the rest of that cartoon. The piece that I was just going to mention was that unfortunately Rochester gets the short end of the stick most of the time here, and they really play him as a really broad caricature of Black folks, and the way they draw him unfortunately looks more like they're drawing someone that's in blackface instead of an actual African-American person. John, what were your thoughts on the various ones that you saw?
I'd seen a number of them before, but I don't remember ever seeing the Jack Benny Malibu Beach Party before, or whatever.
So I
thought that was really interesting, and I feel like there was one that was one of my favorite that they didn't have on there, where I think Daffy Duck or somebody is walking past a park bench, and there's Bing Crosby, and then there's Jack Benny playing the violin.
Oh, that's right. They're all cold and starving and things like that.
Yes. That was shown on the Saturday mornings. I remember that would loop around where you'd catch that one. And I was always, I was a weird kid. I would always get excited by watching these old people and trying to figure out who they are, because I knew that they were famous people. And maybe I'd recognize, say, Bing Crosby from his Bing Crosby Christmas specials that he'd do and things, because I remember watching them. My parents, and I'm so delighted that they did this, they were big into watching those specials, and those specials would be a special night, and they would be like, oh, there's a whoever, Jack Benny special on tonight, or a Bing Crosby Christmas special on tonight, and the whole family would watch together. Because my best memories of watching television was watching with my family those specials. And then the other thing that pops out is probably watching the Waltons together that my family would do all together, which was wonderful. And for me, just because my dad would humor me, him watching Star Trek with me, which I know he was never into, but he knew I really liked it. And so he would watch that. I remember a slot, we'd be on his recliner. And he'd have me like on the side, and so we'd both be together, and we'd be watching, and it's a great memory. So charming sometimes how you can, as families, have that time together.
And for the deep Jack Benny fans, if you want to do a deep dive into the cartoon connection, I wrote down a quick list of some other cartoons to look for.
Nice.
Of course, you probably know all these, but maybe not everybody does. Dennis Day played Johnny Appleseed in the Disney cartoon short.
Yeah.
Phil Harris, and of course, let's stop at that for just a second. He played every character in Johnny Appleseed.
That's right.
He plays Johnny Appleseed. He plays like old Johnny Appleseed. He plays the angels. He plays, I think, every voice you hear in there is pretty much his. There's some female voices, I think, at some point, but it's a real tour de force for him, and he sings in there too, which is lovely.
Yeah, and then Phil Harris is a regular with Disney cartoons. People probably know the Jungle Book and Robin Hood, and also the Aristocats. Now, this is a real deep dive. Dennis's mom on the radio show is Verna Felton, who played a bunch of Disney characters, from the grumpy elephant in Dumbo to the Queen of Hearts and the fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank Nelson is in at least one episode of the Flintstones, maybe more. And he does his typical Frank Nelson. He's like a cashier. He's got the mustache. He's like, wow, to Fred Flintstone. And
John still does the best Frank Nelson of anybody I've ever heard. And it's so surprised when you pulled that voice out and could do it so well. It's like awesome.
Well, this will give me a run for my money, which is whoever does it on The Simpsons, there's a recurring role of a Frank Nelson character on The Simpsons, where just randomly they'll go to a jewelry counter and it'll be Frank Nelson in Simpson form, but obviously it's somebody who's doing his voice. So
right.
I just thought those were a couple of fun little cartoons.
Now, John says that. I watched those. I'm like, oh, they're so close. He's like, really, it almost sounds like Frank Nelson doing it, but not quite. But when John does it, there's something that he captures of Frank Nelson in his voice that even the person on The Simpsons, I don't think, captures that well. So I think you're even better than the guy on The Simpsons, which
is I've probably heard it more times than whoever that guy was.
Yeah, exactly. No, but those are wonderful, wonderful bits to catch, and the actors who've done them. I will say the Phil Harris one that people might not know about that you might want to catch. He was in the first. Ooh, maybe three episodes or something like that of Tailspin, I think it is the Disney cartoon about
it's like the Jungle Book, but they're with boat planes.
Yes, and he does the Baloo voice in there for, like I say, the first few episodes or the first movie they had of it or something like that. And then it ran for a couple seasons and he wasn't in it for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Also, his very last performance recorded, which is late. It's like if you go to IMDb, his, like, I want to say 1978 is his last appearance, like, anywhere. And then 1991, I think, he is the main, he's the narrator and one of the main characters in Rockadoodle Doo, I think it's called.
Rockadoodle, yeah.
Yeah, Rockadoodle, there you go. And so, and I have never seen it, but I would love to see that because it's his last IMDb credit that he has. And I just noticed a real fun performance that I watched last night for the first time. Why was I doing this? It was, you never know. I think it was on Betty White, looking up more things on her. And then I saw an interview with Lucy Arnaz, Lucy's daughter. And I just always love hearing, she's so eloquent and presents herself so well that it's just fun to listen to her interviews where she was talking about her mom. And she was talking about, I Love Lucy and Here's Lucy and the shows and the differences and which one she was in and all of that. And she said something that threw me. She said, her brother Desi was only on the first two seasons of Here's Lucy. And I'm like, I'm sure he was on after that. So I looked, and she must have been saying as a regular or something, because he was on up until the fifth season, on and off. There's definitely a fifth season episode with him in it. But as I'm looking through the names of the episodes and things, as I'm just hunting around there, because they're all on Prime, so you can watch them on if you have Prime. The fifth or sixth season, I think it might be the sixth, there's one of the very last episodes of the whole series says Phil Harris is the guest or whatever. So I went and I played that, and he sings and he dances and it's a real tour de force for Phil. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And I haven't, and it's the latest. I mean, you're talking 76, maybe 70, something like that. So it's like one of his very last things he did. I think he did one more appearance on somebody else's show after that, and that's all you get until that rockadoodle
or whatever. Playing golf, so
yeah, right, and certainly you can catch him in lots of golf videos and fishing videos that he's in and things. He did a lot of those, but anyway, just a fun guy, and it's fun to hear him singing that song about. His famous song, what am I thinking? South.
That's what I like about the South.
So he sings that, a little bit of that in there, but a lot of other songs too that he sings and does a really nice job. It's almost like he's doing a telethon or something, is what it looks like that they're trying to show him doing anyway. And he's so funny with Lucy, and Lucy is so embarrassed. He has a song he sings, and he makes her come up supposedly, and she just does this clap and so he'll sing a line, and then he'll look at her like, oh yeah, you're supposed to clap. Then she does her clap, and she has a hard time just doing the clap to keep up with him. And she's not singing with him or anything. And she keeps trying to leave the stage, and he keeps pulling her back and no, we need another clap. And so that's the next line. And it's just a fun little piece with that. So see if you can catch that at some point. But I think we'll leave it there unless anybody has anything else to talk about cartoons.
Someone on the Benny Facebook page, when we were talking about this, because Laura Leibowitz, our esteemed president for life, was able to purchase at auction the actual watercolor painting that is the sign outside Jack Mouse Benny's home. It's very sweet and very meaningful to her, because she's another one who her first Jack Benny memory is watching that cartoon.
Exactly.
But somebody on the Benny Facebook page said, why didn't they do more Jack Benny Mouse cartoons? And I guess I'm sort of glad they didn't. I mean, I would have liked to see them, but yeah, then they become sort of commonplace. And there's something about this cartoon that's so special in seeing them all in this, mouse form, and encapsulating so much of the spirit of the show, let alone the great big cat. I wish there had been others, but on the other hand, no, I think they might have become two every day.
Yeah.
If there were more.
Well, and one thing we didn't mention about this is how it turns to live action at the end, and it I would think for a whole lot of people, this is probably the first time they saw Jack in color, where you actually see his blue eyes and the whole thing. And it's a beautiful color shot of him in the earliest. Well, it's the earliest I've ever seen. It's 57. So, I mean, I've seen stills where there are color pictures that were taken of him. But to actually have him in color years before he released his first color television special is kind of cool. And so he's just not someone you're used to seeing in color like that at this time frame. Yeah, so I think that's really cool. Yeah. So there's a lot of great positive things about this. Anyway, enjoy, and we'll see you guys next time.
This guy, Isaac Stern. Well, I better be getting ready. I think I'll wear my new jacket. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
Where's my new white jacket?
I'm wearing it.
Not anymore, you're not.
But, boss, I rented it from you for a week for $5.
The week was up 5 minutes ago. Now bring it here.
Oh, okay, boss.
It's Miss Livingston's birthday, and I'm taking her out.
Mm-mm. What that tie does for those baby blue eyes.
They are nice, aren't they? Oh, there's something I ought to do before Mary gets here. I always feel better if I count my cheese before I go out for the evening. Da-dum, da-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum, bum-ba-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-dum, da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum, bum-ba-da-dum.
Who goes there?
It's me, Ed.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. How are things on the outside? We win the war yet?
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
That's good. What do you think they'll do with the Kaiser?
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. It's you, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Rochester. Where's Mr. Benny?
Down in the cheese vault, counting out his cheese.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, not again.
I'd just like to know who's been filching my best gorgonzola.
Don't look at me, Jack. I'm on a diet.
Oh, hello, Mary. Oh, happy birthday.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Don.
If you're feeling mighty lucky,
Don,
Bugs Bunny-ish and Daffy Ducky,
Don,
and taught you tall putty tat,
Don.
There's just one thing to do for that.
Don!
Oh, what is it, Jack?
Don, you're not supposed to do a commercial. This is a movie and...
A movie? Gosh, I've always wanted to be a movie actor. Ahem. What light in yon window breaks? It is the dawn.
No, Don. No.
Oh, Jack, can't I just...
No.
Oh, gee whiz, you never let me do anything I want to. Hmm.
Don, such a ham. Well, come on, Mary, let's get going.
Okay. Where are we going?
Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to go?
The Mouse Combo. Maybe you'd rather just stay here and count your cheese again.
Say, we could. I mean, well, there must be other places we could try.
How about the monkey house at the Griffith Park Zoo?
Oh, Mary, now you're just being silly. Besides, we can go there anytime for peanuts. Yipe! The Kit Kat Club, cheapest nightclub in town. Eat now, pay later. Entertainers admitted, free? Well, what do you say we try it, Mary? It sounds kind of cheap. I mean, cute.
That's right, cute and cheap. So, what's more to say, sporty?
We're going to the Kit Kat Club, Rochester. Just follow the arrows.
Okay, boss.
Remember, Jack, you promised me a bottle of champagne for my birthday.
Oh, sure, sure. That is, if you like champagne. Personally, I prefer a good Moscatel myself. Well, here we are, Mary, the Kit Kat Club. Gee, isn't that clever? Looks like a real cat.
Ew, a little too real for me.
Mary, look, they're rolling out the red carpet for me.
Not exactly crowded in here.
Well, it's still pretty early. Say, maybe I can kind of liven things up. This ought to bring him in.
Yeah, Jack Benny and his cheesy violin. Oh, Jack, this place gives me the creeps. Feels just like we're inside a real cat.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You're letting your imagination run away with... Yay! Help! Help, let me out of here! Open up! Help! 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 Let me out of here! Open up, let me out! Gee, what a crazy dream. Imagine Mary and me as two little mice trapped inside of a cat. And I was playing the violin.
Underwear?
No, Mary. For your information, it's my bathing suit. Well, here come the guests now. What a day. What a crowd. And what a party.
Yeah, and what a suit.
Mary, there's nothing wrong with this suit. It's the same kind Robert Taylor wears.
Yeah, but his had a better filling.
Quiet. Here they come now.
Miss Livingston, I presume.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Thank you. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him.
I never go anywhere, I never do anything, I never have any fun.
Ah, shut up, you old crab!
Hello.
Hello.
I want to ask you a question.
Well, what do you want?
Can I cover you with sand?
I don't want to be covered with sand.
Why?
Because I don't like to be covered with sand. Well, all right then, brat. Anything to keep you quiet.
And now, folks, we have a little surprise for you. We're going to have some impromptu entertainment. I have spared no expense to make this party a big success.
Is that you talking, boss?
Keep still, Winchester. Play, Pill. Okay, Jackson, I'm right on the beam. Fill the guest's glasses.
Coming right up, Mr. Bunny. But I don't think that half a pint's gonna be enough.
Well, dilute it.
Okay, boss. But you're gonna have a powerful big water bill next month.
And now that charming little songstress who has so graciously consented to sing for us. Okay, Pill, see if you can all play the same piece this time. Okay, baby.
Music and laughter that fills the air, the strains of sweet melody haunting and floating everywhere. Come now, Carissima, they're calling to you and to me. Oh, come, raise your eyes, my dear one, and join in the revelry.
I have a real treat in store for you. The feature attraction of this afternoon, an artist with rare ability and fine technique. A person you all know and love, Mr. Jack Bunny. Winchester, Winchester! I will play in answer to numerous requests. Tramurai. Winchester, come back here. listen to this. Isn't this number beautiful, Winchester?
Under the circumstances, yes.
Good night, folks.
Do anything with the swing of two and I love you, I love it too, I love it too, sing.
Jack Bunny.
Hello again, folks.
Canary Livingston.
Oh, folks.
Hey, stop and let us see that machine.
Hello again, folks.
Hold on to your bridge work, boss. Here we go again.
Thanks.
Going up, first floor, ague, asthma, anemia, arthritis, aches, and apoplexy. Second floor, beriberi, biliousness, bronchitis, bends, and blind staggers. Third floor, colds, cramps, convulsions, corns, calluses, concussions, and curvatures of all kinds.
Hello again, this is Jack Bunny, folks. You know, one of the Easter bunnies. Hello again, folks. This is Jack Bunny. Music, maestro.
What's that you got on, Jack? Your underwear?
No, Mary. For your information, it's my bathing suit. Well, here come the guests now. What a day. What a crowd. And what a party.
Yeah, and what a suit.
Mary, there's nothing wrong with this suit. It's the same kind Robert Taylor wears.
Yeah, but his had a better filling.
Quiet. Here they come now. I've spared no expense to make this party a big success.
Is that you talking, boss?
Keep still, Winchester.
Who's this guy, Isaac Stern? Well, I better be getting ready. I think I'll wear my new jacket. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
Where's my new white jacket?
I'm wearing it!
Not anymore, you're not.
But, boss, I rented it from you for a week for $5.
The week was up 5 minutes ago. Now bring it here.
Oh, okay, boss.
It's Miss Livingston's birthday, and I'm taking her out.
What that tie does for those baby blue eyes.
They are nice, aren't they? Oh, there's something I ought to do before Mary gets here.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. It's you, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Rochester. Where's Mr. Benny?
Down in the cheese vault, counting out his cheese.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, not again.
I'd just like to know who's been filching my best gorgonzola.
Don't look at me, Jack. I'm on a diet.
Oh, hello, Mary. Oh, happy birthday.